Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
The unknown author of Hebrews writes in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, "Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, he despised the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Shame is the biggest issue that prevents us from seeing God's grace in our lives. And what we tell ourselves about ourselves, it really does matter. And most of us, we don't even realize that we continue to make poor decisions on the most critical events in our lives because of shame. See, our unhealthy thought life directly contributes to the weight of that shame. But my guest, John Lynch, today with True Face, he's going to share how Jesus Christ has broken the shame barrier on today's show. We're going to continue talking about their new movie, The Heart of Man. On today's episode of God, Sex, and You, we'll discuss three things. Number one, the difference between guilt and shame. Number two, how and why you are more than just a saved sinner. And number three, how to deal with shame. Today's show is titled, Free from Shame and Free to Love. In the movie, John, you have a line that just rocked me. You said, you know, I thought God was mildly disgusted with me all of my life.
Can you say more on that? Well, when I married Stacy, I came out of seminary and full of theology, full of briefcase, full of notes and great commentaries and stuff. But I had this picture that God was saying, "Well, John, well, funny boy. Yeah, you got the people laughing, don't you? They all think you're pretty good. Look, I know better, and I'm going to have to expose you someday, and you'll thank me for it later. But I haven't exactly picked the time. I mean, I know, but I'm not going to tell you. But you're going to have to be ruined, and then you'll start over again, and you'll see me." I preached with that conception of God. He loved me, but he was on to me and mildly disgusted with me. And he was going to have to reveal me and break me and ruin me. And then I would come back and maybe I would do something with my life. I carried that theology. Now, I came to Christ with such powerful, at age 27, with such powerful hope in 1979. I did that to myself. No preacher did that to me. No theology did that to me. I, somewhere within a year, I believed that lie. And now, to be able to come back and say, that's not true. He is never mildly disgusted with me. That's not my God, ever. That is a made-up religious figure. But it's not the God of Scripture. It's not the God of reality. And so that's been our great gift, is to be able to teach that everywhere we go and to convince people scripturally that I can read Scripture and see him with that smile on his face that I never knew was real. I always thought I was behind and would never catch up. And that is the feeding ground. That's the fodder for me giving myself permission, self-entitlement to fail in any walk of life. So as that theology has changed, as my understanding that he's not mildly disgusted with me has changed, it has eventually caught up in how I live, in my behavior, of how I treat my wife, of how I lash out or don't lash out. So there's a lag time, but it has changed my entire way of interacting with my entire world.
Yeah, it seems like it would just free you up to live,
That's exactly right. You are less concerned about your sin and more concerned about getting to love. Mm. That's what it frees you from. And back in the Old Testament, he was saying, nope, I want you to pay attention to your sin so that you will see how much you need a Savior. Mm-hmm. But once you find that Savior, it's not anymore about constantly having to address your sin. It's allowing you to go live this life and show a life worth living, because that's what's infectious. That's what people are longing for. That's what you came for. So it's a magnificent freedom when a church, when a pastor, when any individual, when people who have been broken and failed by violating themselves and they are hopeless after 30 years of doing it, to dare believe that our God's not even one bit disgusted with them. Mm. He doesn't have that word in his array of emotion.
John, one of the many things that you have taught me is that shame can be a bridge. You guys use this analogy of a bridge, that God uses these hard times as a bridge. Yeah. Not that we will run away from him, but he actually draws us closer, that our sin, unbelievably, our sin and our shame, specifically sexual sin and lust and pornography and sexual abuse, that those things are not something that the Lord wants us to turn our back on him and run away, but to turn around and run into his arms. Can you say more on that?
Sir. Yeah. Well, shame, obviously, we talk so much about it, but I want to make sure that we have that working definition. Sin or guilt says you have done something wrong. And shame says, yeah, you've done a lot of things wrong, but there's something uniquely wrong about you. Mm. And no matter what you do, no matter what you learn, no matter what you say, you are particularly and uniquely vile and unredeemable. That's who you are. If people knew the real you, that's who you are. You can hide it. You can sugarcoat it. You can cover it, and you can say religious words, but we both know that's who you are. That's what shame says to us. And it has been reinforced to us by ourselves, by the evil one, by the world, by teachers, unwitting church leaders who thought that that's how they should teach you so that you wouldn't get in as much trouble. And so you have that big pile of shame. And here comes the gospel that says Jesus went to the cross and not only bore your sins so that you are not eternally taken away from him, he dealt with it all, and he bore your shame. Mm. All of your shame he took on that cross, which is too much for me to face sometimes, to realize my God, who knew no shame, who had done no wrong, actually became shame for my behalf, 2 Corinthians 5:21. So that I would become the righteousness of Christ in him. So he took my shame and gave me a new name and gave me a new identity. He gave me Christ in John Lynch. That's who I am. On my worst day, I'm Christ in John Lynch. And I'm not this saved sinner. I'm not the shame-filled sinner. I'm Christ in John Lynch. And we are fused. You can't tell where he leaves off and I start up. You can't. It's we are amalgamated as one. I'm not deity, still deity. I'm still human, but we're fused. And so I can never mock myself and say I'm a loser, because it's not true anymore. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I can still hold on to that shame for a while, but it's no longer accurate. The real accuracy is I'm Christ in me with a shame-free identity. And when I, oh man, when I get a hold of that, it frees me. It doesn't 100% make me ironclad clean, but the more I can keep being in a culture, in a community that is teaching that, living that, risking that, and as long, what it also does, it starts to create safety. Because I hide when I'm convinced that if you knew this about me, you would reject me.
Yep, absolutely.
That's why I hide. Mm-hmm. I hide because I think my... And so I think you really want me to hide. You want me to present an idealized person, and let's just all pretend that we're that. And when you can create a culture and have a culture that says, I don't want to know that person. Right? That, by the way, once you've tasted this, you can tell when people are BSing you and bluffing with you.
Oh, yeah,
and
absolutely.
And they bore you. You just go, come on, buddy. I'm trying to be interested with you, but you're just faking it. You're mm-hmm. just and you're kind of behind such a wall that you're not even interesting. So when people get to tell the truth about who they are, oh, that's when the fun begins. And so when a culture can convince me, then I'll come. And the power of sin is all in that petri dish of shame and hiddenness. The more He can keep me, the evil one can keep me hidden, the more it grows and grows, and the temptation grows, and it keeps building in the sense that I'm trying to promise that I can fight against it, and it grows and it grows. If only instead I could do this one act of saying, I'm going to tell somebody the sin I'm intending to do. If only I had a friend that I knew would not throw me under the bus, who was trying to earn my trust so that they could be there for that moment. And I would find myself saying, okay, buddy, you say you're my friend. I'm going to tell you what I'm about to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that. I've done that so many stinking times with friends and then they'll say, I'll be right over, John. And I get to say to them, I don't think you need to be. The pattern just got broken
mm-hmm.
by me making this phone call, by you taking the call, by you being that kind of a friend that I could be safe with. If we could build those kinds of communities, we would have people free who are sinning less and loving more, and the gospel would be infectious.
Well, I have witnessed that over the past decade, John, and people will come to the ministry who are completely broken and in bondage to pornography and sexual sin specifically. And in one class, in one workshop, in one conversation, you're probably used to this by now, John, but people look at you like, you're not going to beat me up? I don't understand.
Right.
You're loving me through. You're not going to say things that I've heard and I've beat
That's
myself
right.
up for so long. Why is what you're telling me so different? And it's this
That's
idea
right.
of grace. It's
yes,
grace.
Absolutely. And this fundamental reality that it changes the way God sees me.
Yes.
And this fundamental reality that I'm not the same person that I thought I was. And when they get that, you're exactly right. It doesn't take 5 years for someone to get this. You can get this in 5 minutes. Our hearts are so designed. If we put our hope in Christ, there is a new nature in there that's saying, listen to this man. Listen to Dustin. Listen to this. Believe this. There's something in us that we just didn't think we could come in out of the cold. We thought if we ever dare risk trusting this, that God would hate us even more.
Mm-hmm.
That he would
mm-hmm.
say, you guys are trying to get away with something. You're just trying to get away with stuff.
Right.
He's saying, no, sin management is trying to get away with something
mm-hmm.
because it never deals with the power of sin. Grace deals with the power of sin.
The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 12:9, the Lord Jesus said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And Paul's response is, "You know what? I will boast now all the more gladly for my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Again, in Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writes, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that's not of your own doing. It is the gift of Almighty God. It's not a result of works, so that nobody can boast." And yet again in Romans chapter 6, "For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace." Yes, indeed, my friend, grace deals once and for all with the power of sin. It really does. I mean, grace is not a license to sin, but instead it gives us the power to live life free from shame. And once we're free from the bondage of shame, oh man, then we're free to love. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about on tomorrow's episode of God, Sex, and You with John Lynch of Trueface. For more information on the movie, The Heart of Man, be sure to check out the website, heartofmanmovie.com. Well, thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook at Purity Pastor. If you have a question or comment about today's program, feel free to visit dustindaniels.org. You can email me there. You can also rate this show and send it to a friend. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Those words are from Jesus in Matthew 5, verse 8. And I pray that you walk worthy today, my friend, as you cling to Jesus. I love you, and I look forward to our time again tomorrow.